Hey, baby. What you got there? A storybook? Are you bringing it to me so I can read it to you? You're adorable. Of course I'll read it to you. Can you go get your blankie and your Stitch and go get into bed? And I'll come along and read it to you in a minute. I have one more thing to wrap up and then I'll be all yours. Okay. See you in a few minutes. Almost done. Almost done, honey bun. Almost done. All done. Do you want anything? Water? Baby, do you have water on your bedside table? You'll know you'll want it in the middle of the night. Would you want the blue cup or the purple cup? Why did I even ask when I knew the answer? Here we go, sweet pea. Here's your cup. There you go. And here's mine. Yep. Ooh. You feeling extra snuggly tonight? Oh, you want to be close so you can see the pictures? That makes sense. I see where I rank against the illustrations. I get it. No, my baby would abandon me for some good artwork. I see how it is. Is that so? Are you sure? Okay. I yield. Just stop tickling. Okay, where's the book? Nope, it's not in the covers. Did we knock it off the bed? Ah, so that was what that noise was. You ready? You comfy? Okay, here we go. It's The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. Did you know his real name was Theodore Geisel? Oh, okay. Sorry. You're very sassy tonight, baby. You ready? At the far end of town, where the grickle grass grows, and the wind smells slow and sour when it blows, and no birds ever sing excepting old crows, is the street of the Lifted Lorax. And deep in the grickle grass, some people say, if you look deep enough, you can still see today where the Lorax once stood, just as long as it could, before somebody lifted the Lorax away. What was the Lorax? And why was it there? And why was it lifted and taken somewhere? From the far end of town where the grickle grass grows? The old onceler still lives here. Ask him, he knows. You see the onceler, you won't see the onceler. Don't knock at his door. He stays in his lurkin on top of his store. He lurks in his lurkin cold under the roof, where he makes his own clothes out of miffle muffled moof. And on dark dank midnights in August, he peeks out of the shutters, and sometimes he speaks and tells how the Lorax was lifted away. He'll tell you, perhaps, if you're willing to pay. On the end of a rope, he lets down a tin pail, and you have to toss in 15 cents and a nail and the shell of a great 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 grandfather snail. Then he pulls up the pail, makes a most careful count to see that you've paid him the proper amount. Then he hides what you paid him away in his snoove, his secret strange hole in his glutinous glove. Then he grunts, "I will call you by whisper my phone, for the secrets I tell you are for your ears alone." Slup! Down slops the whismophone to your ear, and the old onceler whispers are not very clear, since they have to come down through a snuggly hose, and he sounds as if he had smallish bees up his nose. "Now I'll tell you," he says, with his teeth sounding gray, "how the Lorax got lifted and taken away. It all started way back, such a long, long time back." Ooh, see the color change? Mm-hmm. Yeah. "Way back in the days when the grass was still green, and the pond was still wet, and the clouds were still clean, the song of the Smoly Swans sang out in space. One morning I came to this glorious place, and I first saw the trees, the tuffala trees, the bright colored tufts of the tuffala trees, mile after mile in the fresh morning breeze. And under the trees I saw brown barbalutes frisking about in their barbalot suits as they played in the shade and ate truffula fruits. From the riparous pond came the comfortable sound of the humming fish humming while splashing around." You see the fish? Mm-hmm. "But those trees, those tuffala trees. All my life I've been searching for trees such as these. The touch of their tufts are much softer than silk, and they had the sweet smell of fresh butterfly milk. I felt a great leaping of joy in my heart. I knew just what I'd do. I'd unloaded my cart." Yep, there's his onceler wagon. He's throwing it out like you throw your clothes around. "In no time at all, I had built a small shop. Then I topped down a truffula tree with one chop. And with great skill, and with great speedy speed, I took the soft tuft and I knitted a feed. The instant I finished, I heard a guth zump. I looked and I saw something pop out of the stump of the tree I'd chopped down. It was sort of a man. Describe him? That's hard. I don't know if I can. He was shortish and oldish and brownish and mossy, and he spoke with a voice that was sharpish and bossy. 'Mister,' he said with a sawdusty sneeze, 'I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. I speak for the trees, for the trees have no tongues. And I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs.' He was very upset as he shouted and puffed, 'What's that thing you have made out of my truffula tuff?' 'Look, Lorax,' I said, 'there's no cause for alarm. I've chopped just one tree. I am doing no harm. I am being quite useful. This thing is a thneed. A thneed is find something that all people need. It's a shirt, it's a sock, it's a glove, it's a hat. But it has other uses, yes, far beyond that. You can use it for carpets, for pillows, for sheets, or curtains, or covers, for bicycle seats.' The Lorax said, 'Sir, you are crazy with greed. There is no one on earth who would buy that fool thneed.' But at that very moment, I proved he was wrong, for just at that minute, a chap came along, and he thought that the thneed I had knitted was great, and he happily bought it for $3.98. I laughed at the Lorax, 'You poor stupid guy. You can never tell what some people will buy.' 'I repeat,' cried the Lorax, 'I speak for the trees. I'm busy,' I told him, 'shut up if you please.' I rushed across the room, and in no time at all, built a radiophone. I put in a quick call. I called all my brothers and uncles and aunts, and I said, 'Listen here, here's a wonderful chance for the whole Onceler family to get mighty rich. Get over here fast, take the road to North Niche, turn left at Weehawken, sharp right at South Niche.' And in no time at all, in the factory I built, the whole Onceler family was working full tilt. We were all knitting thneeds, just as busy as bees, to the sound of the chopping of truffula trees." Then, oh baby, oh, how my business did grow. Now chopping one tree at a time was too slow. So I quickly invented my super axe hacker and whacked off 4 truffula trees and 1 smacker. We were making needs 4 times as fast as before. And that Lorax, he didn't show up anymore. But the next week he knocked at my new office door. He snapped, "I'm the Lorax who speaks for the trees, which you seem to be chopping as fast as you please. But I'm also in charge of the brown bobaloots who have played in the shade in their bobala suits and happily lived eating truffula fruits. Now, thanks to your hacking my trees to the ground, there's not enough truffula fruit to go round, and my poor bobaloots are all getting the crummies because they have gas and no food in their tummies. They loved living here, but I can't let them stay. They'll have to find food, and I hope that they may. Good luck, boys," he cried, and he sent them away. I, the onceler, felt sad as I watched them all go, but business is business, and business must grow, regardless of crummies and tummies, you know. I meant no harm. I most truly did not. But I had to grow bigger, so bigger I got. I biggered my factory, I biggered my roads, I biggered my wagons, and I biggered the loads. Of these I shipped out, I was shipping them forth, to the south, to the east, to the west, to the north. I went right on biggering, selling more feeds, and I biggered my money, which everyone needs. Then again he came back. I was fixing some pipes, when that old nuisance Lorax came back with more gripes. "I am the Lorax," he coughed and he whiffed. He sneezed and he snuffed. He snarled and he sniffed. "Onceler," he cried with a cruffulous croak. "Onceler, you're making such smogonous smoke. My poor swami swans, why, they can't sing a note. No one can sing who has smog in his throat." "And so," said the Lorax, "please pardon my cough. They cannot live here, so I'm sending them off. Where will they go? I don't hopefully know. They may have to fly for a month or a year to escape from the smog you've smogged up around here." "What's more," snapped the Lorax, his dander was up, "you let me say a few words about gloopity-glup. Your machines chug on night and day without stop, making gloopity-glup and also shippity-slop. And what do you do with this leftover goo? I'll show you, you dirty old onceler man, you. You're glumping the pond where the humming fish hummed. No more can they hum, for their gills are all gummed. So I'm sending them off. Oh, their future is dreary. They'll walk on their fins and get woefully weary. And search them some water that isn't so smeary." And then I got mad. I got terribly mad. I yell at the Lorax, "Now listen here, Dad. All you do is yap yap and say bad, 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 bad. Well, I have my rights, sir, and I'm telling you, I intend to go on doing just what I do. And for your information, you Lorax, I'm figuring on biggering and biggering and biggering and biggering, turning more truffula trees into thieves, which everyone, everyone, everyone needs." And at that very moment, we heard a loud whack. From outside in the fields came a sickening smack of an axe on a tree, and then we heard the tree fall, the very last truffula tree of them all. No more trees, no more thieves, no more work to be done. So in no time, my uncles and aunts, every one, all waved me goodbye. They jumped into their cars and drove away under the smoke-smug stars. Now all that is left beneath the bad-smelling sky was my big empty factory, the Lorax, and I. The Lorax said nothing, just gave me a glance. Just gave me a very sad, sad backward glance, as he lifted himself by the seat of his pants. And I'll never forget the grim look on his face when he hoisted himself and took leave of this place through a hole in the smog without leaving a trace. And all that the Lorax left here in this mess was a small pile of rocks with the one word, "unless." Whatever that meant, well, I just couldn't guess. That was long, long ago, but every day since that day, I've sat here and worried away. Through the years, while my buildings have fallen apart, I've worried about it with all of my heart. "But now," said the onceler, "now that you're here, the words of the Lorax seem perfectly clear. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better. It's not." "So catch," said the onceler. He let something fall. It's a truffula seed. It's the last one of all. You're in charge of the last of the truffula seeds, and truffula trees are what everyone needs. Plant a new truffula, treat it with care, give it clean water, and feed it fresh air. Grow it a forest, protect it from axes that hack, then the Lorax and all his friends may come back. The end. What'd you think? You want to plant truffula trees in the yard now? There actually are flowers that look a little like them. They're called allium flowers, I think. And actually, they're usually purple, too. Maybe I'll see about getting some at the greenhouse. Yeah, they're doing curbside pickup now. Your very own truffula tree. Okay, it's time for bed. Mm-hmm. We can do more research on the truffula tree flower tomorrow. That does not mean first thing in the morning you have your phone in my face showing me information I can't process because I haven't had coffee yet, though, right? Mm-hmm. Right, baby? Good. Okay, kisses for Stitch. Mwah. Mwah. And kisses for my baby. Mwah. Mwah.